I'm Ken Hemmings, and he is Chris Lang, and welcome to another of these regular property briefings. Again, a warm welcome to you, Chris.
As always, I'm delighted to join you.
Over the past month or so, there have been some encouraging economic signs, both here and overseas. How do you see those playing out for Australia, and probably more importantly, for the commercial property market?
Yeah, look, America is certainly on the improve. I think every month we're seeing the figures coming out of there looking better. But, I mean, even you look at Australia's GDP, which for the March quarter rose by 1.1%, which takes it to an annual growth figure of around 3.5%. And, in fact, that is actually above average. And we're also seeing business confidence improving, and that's even despite all the negative response to the recent federal budget. So anyway, what this has been driven by basically is a surge in exports, mainly in iron ore and liquefied gas, which accounted for over 80% of the total growth in GDP. Now, sure, the price of iron at $90 per ton has fallen, but demand certainly hasn't. In fact, export volumes have jumped, I think, more than 16% over the past year. So there are a whole lot of positive things. And just following on from last week when we talked about the negative impact that the car industry was going to have, you can see that people are looking past all that. And there are so many other aspects of the economy that are actually bubbling along quite well. And in reality, we are in good shape.
What about our consumer spending here in Australia?
Well, when it comes to consumer spending, what seems to grab the headlines is basically the boutiques, fashion houses and department stores. And there's no question with the unseasonal hot weather that their sales for pre-winter and winter stock have been decimated, and therefore they are having to have early sales to clear the shelves to provide turnover and be able to get new stock in. But you know, the reality is, and it's probably evidenced by the influx over the last few years of major traders from overseas, the markup in retailing is enormous. Now, sure, they're not making as much profit, but in many cases with these sales, they're still not making a loss. I mean, they're certainly covering costs and I think making a modest profit. And unfortunately, because of the profits they've been able to generate in past years, landlords have probably increased their rents more than they should have. And yes, the rents, in my view, for retail are full. But that said, with these major players coming into the CBDs, both in Melbourne and Sydney, and to a lesser extent the other capital cities, what that is doing is actually driving rents up a bit further in the main retail locations, because these larger internationals are taking up pretty good space and effectively freezing out some of the more local traders. And the only way they can get into these less available spots now is to pay a premium. So it is a bit of a two-edged sword. But what you've got to look at is that the ABS figures show that consumer spending actually grew by 2.8% over the quarter, although there were some companies that actually preferred to meet that growth by running down inventories rather than increasing supplies. But that's the next step. It's a bit like when the office market is oversupplied and you have subleasing going on. Before the true vacancies can be eaten into, you have to mop up the sublease space. And that's a bit the case here, that having been through the pain of low consumer spending, some, not so much manufacturers, but wholesalers have not been willing to place orders for new stock. They'd rather use up what's in the warehouses to a point where they are absolutely confident that that's likely to continue, and then they will start to restock again. But we're starting to see that confidence return to the market.
Are there other encouraging signs?
Yeah, look, although it's been sluggish in most of the other states, Victoria has been seeing a surge in home building with over 3,000 new homes under construction, more than there were this time last year. Now, I know we look at the auction sales and in Sydney and Melbourne particularly, and clearance rates of, 70-75%. Don't get carried away with that. That market was playing catch-up, and we're already starting to see that cool a bit. But this new home construction is people going out and actually buying raw land and building new accommodation. Now, not only is that a sign of confidence in the residential market, but it means it's more employment for all the tradies. So all your electricians and plumbers and other construction workers are now starting to get employment on a consistent basis. And this would suggest that, consumer sentiment is now solidly on the improve. And it also provides a welcome boost to the construction industry and all those related trades. So it's not just exports which are strong. There was a blip, I think, in last month, which I think is not going to be repeated again. But overall, and even if you look at China, yes, that's slowing down a bit, but they still have to build their infrastructure and roads and bridges and all that urbanisation program that they have for the next 5 to 7 years, all of which needs our iron ore and steel. Now, it's not going to cause the booms that we saw before in Brisbane and Perth. I mean, what we're now looking at is just traditional export of materials, and that will continue overseas and locally. We're starting to see things continue. I mean, the Reserve Bank have been very clear in saying that they do not intend to reduce rates any further. I suspect the next rate movement will be upwards. I think they're probably being a little hesitant with the unemployment rate, which has crept up slightly. But once that unemployment rate starts to progressively fall, you'll start to see rates going up again. Now, that's not a bad sign. That's a good sign. Once rates are starting to increase, that's the Reserve Bank showing that they see the economy is in good shape and able to sustain a rate increase, because if they don't, it will get into a boom situation. And yes, that's good for some, but it's an unhealthy situation to be in. So there needs to be a fine balance, and it's not an easy task. But overall, the level of confidence, the economic conditions are all proving or displaying themselves as being positive.
What's the likely effect of the recent move by European governments to set a negative bank interest rate?
Well, what's happening in Europe is something that most people have never experienced in their lifetime before. And the move by the governments there is intended to force European banks to lend more and thereby encourage their people to start spending again. Now, what's been happening is that prices have been falling, stagnating, if you like. And Japan went through this for a period of, I don't know, 12, 15 years, where prices just kept falling and there was no life in the economy. And this is what, I mean, unlike Australia, the European governments want to see inflation return once more because they see that as a sign of life within their economies. I mean, it's almost a contradiction. I mean, the Reserve Bank want to see inflation contained in a band of, I think it's 2.5 to 3.25%, and you know they're very careful about where it sits, and currently it's at the lower end of that band. But European governments are desperate just to have inflation running at 0.5%. It's just not happening. And so they are prepared to take all steps. Now, you know, the reality is that, you know, if an investor, if you put money in the bank and you actually lose money, the concept of banks being secure is overridden by investors saying, well, look, you know, we want some return, so we'll look elsewhere. And the safety of the banks can go to hell as far as we're concerned. And much of those funds are going to flow to Australia because Australia, you've got to remember, is one of only 13 banks worldwide, or our banks here, only 13 countries worldwide, that actually still has a AAA rating. So, you know, if you've got interest rates at zero or under zero and you look at Australia's interest rate and, you know, sure, it's only 3-3.5%. But, I mean, it's still considerably more than what they can get by leaving their funds at home. Now, whether they come to Australia and decide to put it into government bonds or company bonds or whatever it is, and they'll probably do better than the Reserve Bank rate, or as many of them have been doing over the last little while, is putting it into direct property, be it residential or to commercial. So, you know, sure, that's a bit riskier, but the returns are far greater than anything that they can get back home. And, you know, the difficulty we've got here is that the rest of the world see Australia, not, we won't use that word, the lucky country, but as extraordinarily economically sound. It's got a historical platform of stability, and you know we've had to put up with some political machinations over the last 6-12 months or so, but that said, it is still politically stable. And so they see this as a country that they would feel comfortable investing their funds. Now, the sad thing is that we live here, we've been through it, and we don't think that we're that well off. But we're comparing it to how we were back in 2006, 2007. And yeah, I mean, it was crazy then. We were in sort of boom times, and it that wasn't healthy, but that's the comparison we're making. Whereas the people from overseas who have been through far worse than we can even imagine, over since the global financial crisis, look upon Australia with jealous eyes. And that's the reason we're seeing a lot of the overseas funds, and it's not just Asian money, it's from Europe and America, coming into Australia and buying up Australian property. So the underlying strength is there, even if we as Australians don't recognise it.
So will Australia benefit from these funds seeking a more profitable home?
Well, yes, they will. I mean, both from large and small investors who clearly see Australia as a safe haven. I mean, each month you're seeing a growing number of commercial properties being sold to overseas interests, as I said, both from Asia and Europe. And right now, the commercial property market is enjoying some really solid growth after moving sideways for a period, several years really, following the global financial crisis. So, you know, I see it as very positive over these next 3 to 5 years running up to the, say, 2018, 2019.
Do you expect this to continue?
Well, I can't see why not. I mean, as I've mentioned in earlier podcasts, my take is that the commercial property market will continue through to, as I said, 2018, 2019. Look, it may, because the global financials went on so long, maybe 2019, possibly 2020 in that financial year, certainly here in Victoria. Several of the other states, like Queensland and Western Australia, probably lagging 18 months, maybe 2 years behind, as they're still recovering from the collapse in spending after the mining boom. But with that in mind, you're likely to see a further 5 to 7 years of solid growth before any serious correction occurs. And look, sure, unemployment has crept up to around 6%, but the monthly figures for new employment continue to grow. And I suspect this recent figure for unemployment merely reflects a short-term adjustment as a result of the recent major closures that have occurred within the mining sector, which we covered last week. So, yeah, look, I see it continuing. I see nothing standing in the way of this continued growth, as I said, over the next 5 to 7 years, depending which state you're in. As I said, there might be a bit of a lag, but the underpinning forces are there for solid and continued growth.
This has been rather helpful, because it's always good to have someone tie together what appears to be disparate and seemingly unrelated events. So thank you for doing that, Chris.
It's always a pleasure.